Welcome to Fleischmann Hillard's Europe podcast, where the Brussels team and a variety of guests discuss the intersection of European politics, policy and communication, on and offline.
Hello, it's Stefan Moller here. I'm sitting with Dan Baxter, who's a senior vice president and partner here at the Brussels office of Fleischmann, and arguably one of the most well-travelled people at Fleischmann. Four countries and three continents, I believe.
That's right.
Today we'll be talking about public affairs and reputation, namely how reputation is increasingly influencing the nature of our work in Brussels and beyond. Over to the expert. Let's start with a fairly broad question, Dan. In a nutshell, why does reputation matter in public affairs?
That's a good question, I think, and I think the classical answer that you'll receive from a lot of people is that it's an insurance policy. It gets you a call back when things go wrong before politicians and others make their final judgments on a situation. They'll at least call you to find out what's going on. That said, I think reputation also has a much broader impact. It allows you to differentiate yourself within the public affairs marketplace vis-a-vis others. Actually increase your influence against other organizations that may be saying similar or even different things. And, of course, within the public affairs sphere, there is a huge issue of social license to operate. A general feeling from societies in which a company operates that it contributes more good than it takes away. That counts a lot when dealing with politicians and regulators, and it counts a lot when dealing with issues of public opinion, for instance.
On that front, here in, it seems to me that in Brussels we've only been talking about reputation for the last few years. Before, it seemed as if public affairs or government relations really operated in a bit of a vacuum, completely separated from other elements of a company, and hence reputation. So would it be fair to say that reputation is more important in public affairs now than it's been before?
I think there's a growing recognition of its importance. I think it's always been within the, particularly on the political side of public affairs, it's always been very important. But a lot of people haven't necessarily realized that, whether those be officials and regulators or whether they are the companies themselves. I also think that the digitization of life has meant that it tends to matter. I'm not sure that it matters more, but the rise of the consumer activist, the shareholder activist, and so forth has led to much greater visibility and frankly, has resulted in considerably less control for organizations over their messages and over the narrative that is in the marketplace. As we like to say to people, of course, conversations are going on anyways. It's a question, really, of whether or not you want to be part of the conversation that's happening around your company and your industry. That's what recent times have done.
Who actually owns a reputation within an organization? I mean, clearly isn't public affairs alone, although public affairs should be part of the equation. Who is it? Is it management? Is it the CEO? Is it marketing? Is it PR? Is it a mix of everyone?
It's a good question, and I think the precise answer varies depending on the organization you're dealing with. But ultimately, reputation is the sum total of everything externally and internally that you do. So by definition, the chief executive is the ultimate owner of reputation, I believe.
PA as a discipline is, in Brussels at least, fairly government relations-centric, and yet reputation management requires quite a broad skill set that involves far more elements of the communication suite, shall we say. Are we well-placed as PA professionals to deal with reputation?
That's another very good question. I think you're absolutely right that typically public affairs has been government relations centric, or at least cause and issue centric. When it comes to reputation, there are of course different skills and specializations that go into the effective management of an organization's reputation. But I'd say actually the biggest factor is mindset, regardless of who owns it. To effectively manage reputation, you need an organization that's able to look at all aspects of its relationships with various stakeholders, and again, both externally, whether that's suppliers, customers, investors, etc., or internally with employees. If you view the situation myopically as it relates to one specific discipline or an issue set, you're always going to fall short of the mark in terms of reputation management overall.
The way public affairs is conducted in Brussels is fairly reactive and short-term, but clearly building a reputation is a longer-term exercise. Are the two incompatible for that reason in any way?
I think you're right in terms of saying that reputation management is by definition long-term. That said, if public affairs is done well, it should always maintain a long-term focus, even if you are dealing with the with day-to-day issues that that face any organization. You need to understand, for instance, within public affairs, what is in your R&D pipeline. You need to understand what the future sentiment of different countries will be here in Brussels, in order to be able to predict what the future will look like and be able to give your management the right kind of information. So I would suggest that well-done public affairs is very long-term and is actually quite compatible with the reputation management challenge.
Lots of organizations don't actually have a reputation issue per se, but their industry as a whole suffers from poor reputation. So what does a company do then? I mean, does it try to manage industry's reputation on its own? Does it team up? A mix of both? And how does that work?
Well, I think if an industry or a product group has a bad reputation, that the company will inherently carry that reputation as a function of the bigger problem. That, of course, creates a need for the company to do something. Now, what the company does would typically depend a lot on the situation, the specific situation that it faces. It can choose to differentiate itself from its industry, but that can create some long-term problems when industry issues need to be tackled and when other companies remember what that company did. So you need to be careful when you differentiate that you don't cut yourself off from your industry. At the same time, differentiation is going to last for a certain amount of time, but the rest of the industry is going to catch up to you, and you have to be mindful of that when you're doing it. I believe personally that it's generally important for every company to take responsibility for the reputation of its industry, and if its industry isn't doing the right thing, then you can legitimately differentiate yourself and say, we are going to do the right thing, the thing that's best for us, the thing that's best for the long-term reputation of our company, and yes, indeed, for the industry.
To what extent is the likelihood of industries, in particular the Brussels representatives, even on the agency side, people like us, what's the likelihood of us really breaking from the Brussels comfort zone and saying, we have to deal with this, we have to team up with the business people and the PR people and market people, whoever, and really come up with something more holistic, and it might have to happen across companies?
Well, you have certainly one distinct advantage here in Brussels, in that most industries are already organized in sector groupings and that kind of thing. You know, the chemicals industry has a very large secretariat, in effect, for it, as does the oil and gas industry, as does the financial services industry. They have several groupings, in fact, within financial services, etc. So you have that in place, and you have, in effect, built-in fora to speak to. That said, as I said earlier, the challenge, of course, is to make sure you don't just end up with the lowest common denominator response when you get down to what everyone can do. I think in terms of changing the mindset here in Brussels, that will come when it's obvious that it's important. there's usually a 5 to 10 year lag in Brussels between when something is actually important and when people realize it is. That said, you know, the world became much more serious about Brussels when GE failed at a global merger that was approved elsewhere, and when Microsoft was hammered on antitrust charges. So now those are things that people take very, very seriously beyond just those companies. I expect the same thing will happen with reputation management as more and more people realize the interface between what the public thinks of an organization and how particularly politicians, but also regulators, therefore react to the regulation of a given sector. That's where the rubber, I think, will hit the road in the next 5 to 10 years on reputation management.
But you say it's 5, 10 years away, and yet, yeah, here two of us are talking about this now. And I mean, I hear this on a daily basis. Sometimes I'll be giving a presentation to an external crowd, and when I mention the fact that reputation is increasingly important, there'll be lots of nodding in the room. And yet, like you say, it's years away. I mean, why is that? People realize that it needs to happen, and yet it hasn't happened yet. Is there some structural deficiency? Is it just the mindset, like you said before? Is it the comfort zone? What is it?
Well, I think that a lot of people doing any job are quite comfortable in that job and may not know how to move from what they're currently doing to a new, it's almost a new paradigm, if you like, for reputation management. It's much easier for all of us to do the things that we know how to do than to try something new and different. It's also much easier to convince people on the basis of things that have historically worked than to try something new and different. I think there will be a few additional crises in some cases, and I think particularly of financial services and oil and gas. The crisis is apparent, but so far the answer has not come up with a reputation angle to it. That said, I think eventually it will dawn on someone that when an organization achieves 65% of its market capitalization from intangible assets, and a good chunk of that is reputation, then maybe that's an asset that that is worth managing more closely in the future. And that, to me, is very much the business end of reputation management.
In a nutshell, how does one do proper reputation management?
It's an excellent question, and obviously one that's quite difficult to answer in short form. But it really starts, from my perspective, with identifying two things. One is, who do you need to talk to on an ongoing basis? Who is important to your organization and how it is perceived in the market and the world? Some of those answers will obviously include fairly obvious ones like regulators and shareholders. Customers are obviously important. Employees are very, very important. I think there are a number of other audiences that are important to any given organization. If it's a science-heavy organization, that will be important. I also think that if it's a technical organization, then some sort of, you know, trade standards bodies and that kind of thing will be important stakeholders to the overall reputation of the organization. So you start from the perspective of who do you need to talk to. The second thing you start from is looking at it and thinking in the overall reputation of my company, where are the biggest risks? I did some work with an Indian bank a number of years ago where all executives told me that of the three worst crises they could imagine, none of them would happen. None of them had the technical possibility of happening, which would have been a good story to tell, apart from the fact that within the past year, two of those three worst crises actually had happened to the bank. So you do have an aspect of needing to be honest with yourself. I think you also have an aspect of needing to identify what those risks are and thinking about how you might handle them. Reputation management and crisis management aren't by any means the same thing. They are obviously quite important.